Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His fadl, His blessings, His grace, His extreme mercy and bounty and favor on us, for which we have no tongue, no words, no statement that we can pay gratitude to Allah, that we can be grateful to Allah. With goodness and well-being and safety and security, Allah ta'ala has allowed us to arrive to this part of Ramadan. With the goodness of the day, with the safety of Iman, with the safety of our hearts, we are present to Alhamdulillah. We pray to Allah that Allah ta'ala also allows us to arrive to the end of Ramadan with safety and salamat. We sit here with Allah's mercy, His blessings and grace, and we gather for a small amount of time with Allah's tawfiq, with His permission and the capability He's given to us. And with Allah's fadl, with His karam, with His grace, we listen to a few words, points. In normal days to hear, in normal days and to hear in these days, there's a massive difference. Subhanallah. Massive difference. And especially if you wash your niyyah, clean your intentions, the biggest destination for us, our effort and striving and trying, our biggest objective, if a person makes niyyah for that, and that is that Allah, you do our islah, you improve us, rectify us. There's no greater achievement than this for a human being, to attain islah. One normal person, if he improves somebody else, then that is a massive favor he has done for that person. There's no bigger favor on another human being that you can do than rectify, improve a person. So with Allah's fadl, islah takes place, and it's all based on the insan, human being's intention. The more your niyyah is pure and khalis, Allah does not leave you empty-handed. Definitely Allah will give to you. If your niyyah is khalis, this is based on mine and yours niyyah. We, Allah has given us a great company of the Kamil Wali of this generation, Hazrat Ali Murtaza Qudsi Sira. Allah has allowed us to arrive to his gathering. This is his gathering. The pious predecessors have stated, because we don't have that much brain power you have, but I speak about myself, that I can understand these points. We think that, oh, this is us who has arrived here. That we are doing dhikr and we are sat here and we have come in. I am this. Brothers, you are connected to the pious elder, and the push is not coming from here, it's coming from before. From before, it's a different situation, different scenario. The same way the pious elders have said, you have to be careful. When you go to the majalis, then be careful definitely of one thing, that this majlis, the adab, if you want to arrive there, attain something, then do you have nisbat with somebody in that gathering? If you have the connection, then how is that connection? How strong is that connection? How good is that connection? And if you go with this desire, and you go and you analyze before you sit down, that this person, does he have nisbat? Who is he attached to? Is he connected to? How strong is it? Who is he? What mujahida has taken part in this life? Then alhamdulillah, if a good answer comes, positive answer comes, then that majlis will be beneficial for you. Subhanallah. Why? Because it's not related to the man in that gathering, it's related to the line, the chain before him. Say subhanallah. That's where the weight comes from. The weight is from before him, the chain, the order, the fountain, the foundation from where the current emanates. So this is the reason we need to think a little bit. This majlis is a great majlis of a great wali of Allah. And if I start praising him and introducing him now, then we will go to that side. The whole discussion will take that time up. Anyway, with my eyes and alive, I saw him. I disobeyed. I'm not saying it because he's my sheikh. Until this day, in every corner of the world, I've met great personalities in the world. But such a sheikh like him, never met him in my life, somebody like him. Never. Even after meeting him, I could not see anyone as great as him after I saw him. I thought, okay, let me go to Hajj and I'll look for people. A person like, someone like Hazrat, if I can see. At the time of Hajj, because as you know, that such great personalities come for Hajj, alhamdulillah. I looked and I seek, these eyes looked, I looked in Arafat, in Mina, whilst drinking Zamzam, whilst doing Tawaf. And I embraced the Kaaba and I sought a personality as great as him. I cried and I sought that person. In Multazam, I did dua seeking a person. From everywhere the answer came that, did you not see the dream of your sheikh? That somebody saw a dream that Hazrat Sahaba saw a dream, and that man who saw the dream said, in the Kaaba, and a minar of the Kaaba dropped. And then he asked Hazrat Sahaba, what's the meaning of this dream? Hazrat Sahaba breathed in a sigh. Such a wali is departing from the world this year that he will never be replaced. There will be no compensation for his loss. Allahu Akbar. That no one like him will come to this world after that. So these people, we are close to Qiyamah. Greatness is going and fake is coming. If you look at the previous generation, they didn't know that can you get butter, fake butter? Can you get milk which is not real? They couldn't imagine that fake things would come, non-genuine things would come. They thought everything was khalis and they consumed it and they ate it in their lives. Look how lengthy were their lives. There was no organic, inorganic, or these ingredients. This is all fake. This day and age we're living in. It was all purity. There was khalis life, khalis everything in their lives. Golden generation. And the sign of Qiyamah is that everything that is pure will become impure. Deen or dunya will become impure. So this majlis, we should take the benefit from this majlis. Or not. So Ramadan, such a great wali Allah's majlis, alhamdulillah, we are in. What a great statement. In fact, to delay this, to be lazy in this, you are doing dhulm on yourself. You are to leave a majlis like this. A person definitely go other places, go and sit, etc. But if you don't get this in that place, you don't have that nisbat, this weak connection, there's no basis, foundation, doesn't matter how many people are there, you will not get the benefit. I'll tell you the haq, the truth today. Understand the point. We don't have that much time nowadays. In our life, we don't have the time that we keep doing different things, going here and there. Allah has given us a gauge that if you attain Allah in that gathering, just stick to that. That's it, you'll attain everything A to Z from that gathering with Allah's fadl and His grace. You don't need to go left, right, everywhere. Don't waste time. We don't have that time today. Seeking, looking up and down. Oh, let me look here. Let me try him out. Let's go to this place. Junaid won't come. Bayazid won't come. Nor will Ali Murtaza come. Yes, he who had to come, he came. They've gone. Now the fairs is prevalent, spread. And those people who get the fairs, those who are given ijazah to spread their fairs. Nobody else. Nobody else. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So this is the fact and the point, my brothers. So we were discussing, Alhamdulillah, previously about Ramadan. What were we talking about? The favors of Ramadan. We were trying to fulfill the rights of Ramadan by speaking and understanding the ahsan, Allah's grace and favor that we get through Ramadan. And what a great ahsan and favor of Allah that the whole situation of our life is based on that. Yes? You, for example, we go to the home. You arrive home to your family and it's night time and you have to eat, you have to change your clothes, you have to do wudu, you have to prepare for salah, because everything is quick, isn't it? Okay, so Ramadan, you arrive, the lights are off. It's dark, intense darkness. Tell me what will happen. Everything will become late for you. There's no light. You have to change your clothes, you can't see, eating late, drinking late, actions late. Disturbance will come into your life schedule, isn't it? Will this happen or not? And somebody will look here, left, put the hand out there, stumble here, no clothes will come in your hand, because there's darkness, you can't see, and you're distressed, and you'll be a bit upset, everything's up and down, left and right, your program, schedule, timetable will disturb, everything of yours for that time is gone. Darkness is a very negative and bad effect thing, my friends. Darkness. Such a bad thing is darkness that Allah Ta'ala, biggest adab in the Akhirah has given is darkness. The biggest punishment in the Akhirah is darkness. The more sinful a person is, the more sinful, evil, disobedient to Allah that person is, and the increases in shirk, etc., and kufr, the more the azab that person will get with what? With darkness. And Allah has made a special arrangement in Jahannam that Jahannam was made of darkness. The formulation, the recipe, you could say, the ingredients, the recipe card, it was made, and the final position Allah left it at was what? Intense darkness. May Allah forgive. So think for yourself, that's where punishment starts from. Intensity of darkness. When the death comes, there's darkness comes. Death time comes, darkness. When you go into the grave, there's darkness. Have you seen this? When you wake up on the day of resurrection, darkness. When you get away from resurrection, Bridge of Sirat, darkness. May Allah not allow, may not Allah not allow. If you fail, then there's darkness in Jahannam. Darkness, black. How dangerous is darkness, tell me? How much it destroys a person. The darkness at the home, we can't take it. So then what will we do in the darknesses of the hereafter, tell me? If we can't even take a few minutes in the home darkness, this is the darkness that destroys a person. This is the reality, the truth. When there's darkness inside a person, then he is also spoilt. Inside your home, there's darkness, everything finishes. You can't do anything. And if inside you, the home, the whole body, if in your heart there's darkness, then you are finished. Allahu Akbar. Yes, what is our markaz? Our fountain, foundation, the heart. If you can't bear for a few moments the darkness of the home, then tell me, if your heart is dark, how will you remain alive? Every action of yours in life will be disturbed. In the house is darkness, eating you can't eat, eating late, waking up late, clothes on late, salah late, wudu late, bathroom late, everything, going to work late, everything, schedule upside down, phone, you grab something else, you wanted to pick up the phone, you pick up some other item. So in that home, if there's darkness, you can't do anything. In the heart there's darkness, then imagine how that person's life will be. Can it be good, his life? In that heart where there's darkness, how can that person live his life in the world? How did he will do shirk and bid'at, innovation, sins, shahawat, and lust. He'll steal people's money and sin A and B and C. He cannot expect any action of his life will be good and correct and upright. Cannot imagine his life will be upright because there's darkness in the heart that destroys the person in the world. In the heart, if light is not present or created or developed, that person's finished. Whenever a person, if you see that he's spoiled, he's not in a good way, consider he's not doing nothing, no shaitan, nothing else. The biggest factor is that in his heart there's darkness. Oh, I'm lazy, I can't pray salah. Why? Oh, I try to go to Fajr salah, I can't wake up. Oh, I tried my best to come to dhikr, I can't do dhikr. I feel like praying salah. I want to go, I get to the prayer mat, to the jainawas, but I don't know when I stand there, I turn back a U-turn. These feelings and words I've heard with my ears from the people, and I'm repeating them to you. I don't know what it is that I can't understand, that I thought that in the masjid I'll pray salah, I can't come to the masjid. What's the reason? Obviously, the reason, the root cause, the factor, the common denominator, look for that reason. Which enemy is running after us? Not allowing us to practice the way we want. Yes, we say, oh, shaitan, shaitan. Shaitan, he does one thing. He just does one thing. For example, there's a man and he wants to... The fuse trips, that's it. The rest shaitan's doing. So shaitan trips the fuse and he steps back and that's it. He's done his work. He's just tripped the fuse. The rest, the darkness after. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He does that initial point. So all of this, the excuses we make, the issues, then after that, impurity, I try, I don't want to do this sin, but I commit this sin. That obviously in the darkness, apart from the phone, you're taking all of something else. Your shalwar, you're taking the kameez, you can't see the clothes, instead of the imama, you're looking for something else. So it's darkness. So in the same way, insan, when anything's good is bad, anything's bad is good. Flip side. He says, sood, riba, progression, advancement, wealth. Sood, riba, advancement, progress. And the person who's got no money thinks he's a waster. The person who stood at the shop is counting money. Oh, he's progressed. He's arrived. He's reached. He's done. The person who leaves the shop and the business goes to pray salah. He's backward. He's a fundamentalist. He doesn't know anything. Is this not the case? So in other words, we don't think that what's the reason behind all of this wrong thinking. Who is brainy? Who's got akal? Akal, wisdom person is he, intellectual. We got the Quran, who lives his life according to the Quran, he's intellectual. According to Hidayah, he's intellectual. So what we realize, that Jahannam's darkness, that's come into the heart of that person. And it's overwhelmed his life and it's destroying his steps and his thinking. It's in his shadow. It's in his sight. All of this is due to the darkness, intensity of darkness in the heart that a person does wrong. So my brothers, my friends, when sin overwhelms you, overtakes you, You have desire for sin. When shaitan and nafs overtake you, and you enjoy that, and laziness, which we call laziness, oh, I'm lazy, when that keeps coming out of your mouth, I don't feel like it, I don't know why these words come out of our mouth, then consider, I don't know why I'm doing this, that the raghbat, that the pull is towards sin, and the pull is towards bad, and you start liking wrong, then consider the sin after sin is coming in your life, and disobedience is taking over you, then consider immediately, then your heart, darkness has overtaken your heart, and there's no other reason. There's no other reason. Ramadan has given a beautiful solution to this. It's made us practice 30 days in a full, complete way, comprehensive. Look, comprehensively, and it started from a beautiful point, that in the darkness of the heart, to take the darkness away, is given us the action. Say Subhanallah. That if we don't understand this, then consider we have not spent Ramadan correctly. Because all of the success in Ramadan, if we do the action correctly, that's why our hearts are illuminated, they are alight. After Ramadan goes, our emotions will change, they'll improve. Because all those actions due to Ramadan we had to do. We think that it's Ramadan, and we're just passing Ramadan, we're fasting, we're hungry. It's not fasting and hunger. It's Ramadan is curing and solving our issues, due to which our heart will be alight, illuminated, and will keep that existing afterwards for the rest of the life. Say Subhanallah. Due to which our emotion has come that I keep wanting to pray Salah, I want to pray Taraweeh, I want to read Quran, I'm coming to the majalis, the gatherings. Well, this positive feeling means that the darkness of the heart has gone away. Yes, the darkness of the heart is distant now. What did Ramadan do? What was the action that Ramadan did that has brought about this result? What has it given to us? What is the action that it's made us do that our heart is illuminated, that the bad things that we used to go to, now we feel like leaving work to pray, we don't like mal wealth, we'll run and hasten to Allah's gathering, we'll put sleep to the side, we have crushed our desires, our lust. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So there must be a factor, quality in Ramadan that's allowed us to do this practice. There must be something that Ramadan is making us do, due to which all the desires and that glimmer has come into the heart, and bad things are dirty now for us, impure. So what do? After Ramadan passes, we forget this. That why do we have so much strength to do the good? We forget that factor, the quality. The reason being that factor that Ramadan has made us practice with, that item, that factor, that quality, keep it alive, then inshallah Ramadan will be with you always. What's the first factor of Ramadan? Factor number one, where we start from. Everything has a logic as well behind it, brothers. So factor number one, what does Ramadan demand from you? The fast. Factor number one. The whole body, factor number one, Ramadan speaks to your stomach. Where does it start from? Factor number one, the stomach. These are the learnings, the factors you must keep going after Ramadan. So the whole of the matter, the darkness and the light of the heart, starts from where? Yes? We look at the heart, sorry, the stomach. The stomach of the human being. The stomach. So, factor number one, Ramadan, the important item and action that it carries out, without which there's no fast, is that food and drink. Yes? Factor number one, isn't it? Any human being, when he cannot have a fast unless he does amal on this factor. If you eat and I'm fasting, is your fast existent? No. Is your fast valid? No. It's lazim, essential, that you have to do something with the stomach. If you're fasting, what is that what you have to do with the stomach? What is it? You have to empty the stomach. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Yes, this is the way to illuminate the heart. You start from the stomach. So, from two ways the stomach is emptied. One is the real and one is the genuine. Yeah, one is the genuine and one is the non-genuine. There are two ways that the fast controls the stomach. Say Subhanallah. Zahiri, the food ceases to go into the stomach. Zahiri, doesn't it? Yeah, physically, just like at the moment, we don't eat, and our hearts are illuminated at the moment, because food physically stopped going into the stomach. Fast has stopped this, isn't it? So the zahiri, physical food, is prevented going, and after that, the hakiki, the real thing that it's explaining to you, that okay, zahiri, you physically stop eating, the fast is in existence, it's valid, and it's going to the stage of acceptance. But the second thing with your stomach you have to do, and that's the real caution And what is that? That again, when you get ijazah to eat, you may give the practice of Ramadan. At that time, the first action you need to do is that the fast, you have to say it. You have to break the fast. You have to, or do you have to pray salah? What will you do first? You have to do it like that first, isn't it? The Allah Ta'ala has said that don't break the fast, pray salah first. No. Then you'll eat with ease. No, this is not the philosophy here. Say subhanallah. Here, such a big action, salah, Allah's put it to the back. Why? Because Allah says that salah, even as a link with the light and the illumination of the heart. So you have to illuminate the heart first. So with your barakah, these points I'm understanding right now, that I'm sharing with you. Yes? So the heart, even Ramadan, look, Ramadan, such a great action of salah, Allah says, put it to the back first. Just put it to the side, delay. Don't give adhan yet. Wait. Wait. Adhan even you give, wait. Why? Because first cure, you have to give the cure, Allah says, the solution. So what's the solution here? What's being told here? What do you need to do is break the fast. Yes? In other words, your stomach, you can now prepare for it in step number two. That the zahiri thing, that you stop the food going into the stomach and you've seen the enjoyment of that, how your heart has been illuminated during the fasting day, you have been light in weight and everything else. But you cannot succeed yet. Allah says, now you need to break the fast. And breaking the fast is the most fantastic of times. When you break the fast, Allah says, then nothing, whatever you have, that you can break the fast with, and if it goes into your stomach, it goes into your stomach, and it's going to your stomach, actually, if it doesn't go into the stomach, the fast doesn't break, say subhanallah. Look how much connection is with the fast and the stomach. So you know, you ask the masala, so I had a fast, and I had water, I drank it to here, we say this, isn't it? So have the boundary, did it go beyond the halq, did it drop go, then the fast is broken. What's the had, the boundary? The halq. So the fast will break when that food goes below your throat, through the pipe and into your stomach, and then your fast is broken at the time. Say subhanallah. So that's where the point comes, that this is the real situation with the stomach here now. That food that you'll insert after you fasted, you're given control. That your fast has been explained here. That you've kept the fast, you've eaten. It's explained now, your fast was right or was it wrong? So on this point, if you are caution with your food. Yes, طَيِّبًا. Ruh طَيِّبًا, Allah says in the Quran. مَشْرَبُ طَيِّبًا. That the food has to be halal. Is it halal and lawful that you're inserting into your mouth and your stomach? Say subhanallah. How come the instruction comes that beware, how do you haram food, do not break the fast, otherwise that fast will not remain, otherwise what will become? It will become faqa, hunger, poverty. Allahu Akbar, say subhanallah. So the biggest factor here for us is what? The food. The khuraq. If you want to illuminate your heart, then if you want to make that darkness far away from you, the first step, number one, factor number one, is your food has to be controlled. Your sustenance, your food, this is the message number one. Factor number one. That such a whole day you're hungry, you fast, if it's not been accepted, the darkness is not going far, then remember in this world, understand halal and haram when you're eating. Tayyib, what is tayyib? Lawful, everything. Don't just put everything you like into your mouth. The resources, don't adopt those wrong resources that you're earning in the wrong way. Because that food will go into your body, will become digested in blood and your liver, your kidneys, your organs, and it will make your heart dark, and it will make everything in your body dark if it's not lawful. Allah Ta'ala practically has demonstrated to us that you break your fast, you can see for yourself. Say subhanallah. So brothers, first step number one is that your stomach, you need to protect it, the human being. First step number one is the step number one, the factor number one on Ramadan is to be cautious. Your business, your employment, your work, your accounts, everything, as much as it's clean and pure and tayyib and lawful and clear and transparent, the more your heart will be pure and clean and nurani. I pray a lot of salah, I do hajj upon hajj, but one thing will be looked at. What is the source of your income? What is your food and your water? Where is it coming from? Where is it purchased from? How is it made? What do you eat? What do you drink? Brothers, if you want to enlighten your heart, the factor number one, the biggest factor is khuraak, your food and water. How is it being earned? You need to control your stomach in this way. Next step now, number two. Step number two. What's the next thing that delivers darkness to your heart? That's the desires of the nafs and the lust and the passion of the dunya. Step number two now, factor number two. This is a very dangerous part. These are called the desires, the base desires. Desires, whether I get or not, I want this. I want this palace, I want this mansion, I want this action, I want this item, I want this asset, I want to marry someone else, I want to marry that person, I want three marriages too, this and that, I want her, etc. These desires keep revolving in your mind and yourself. Why do these things happen and take place? Because our heart is dark. Heart is dark. So fast, what does it teach us? Alhamdulillah. The fast, what does it teach us? The insan, human being, when he starts to fast, then the first thing that is desire, biggest desires and lust is control. His biggest desire is food and drink. Subhanallah. Yeah? The biggest desire of a human being ongoing is what? Food, drink. Then he starts to eat and drink, then he goes to the next level. So fast teaches this, that if you want to enlighten your heart, then you need to suppress your desires. Control them. Become realistic. Be practical and real. Don't go beyond realism. That thing which is not ordained for you, think of it as a stranger to you. That which is yours, consider that yours. Don't have greed for everything. Don't have desire for everything. This is the second message of Ramadan. Because in fasting you've reduced these things, your desires you've annihilated. So in the heart, another bulb, a light has illuminated. So the second factor, number two, which is a barrier for you, which destroys the heart, is what? Are the desires of the human being. Allah has given you something, be grateful, have shukr, and say, Allah has given this to me, alhamdulillah. And don't go towards the things which are not permissible, najais. Third factor, factor number three, is after sinning, to sin again. Yes, control of the sins. This is also an important point. Important point. Ramadan has also made us practice this, and fantastic practice we've done in Ramadan. Yes, that if you want to keep your fast correct, then save yourself from the sins. Prevent the sins. Has this Ramadan told us this or not? Tell me. That the best end of the day, the fast at the end of the day, which is the best, beautiful, decorated, ahsan ibadah that your fast becomes, is that human beings who control his tongue, his hand, his eyesight, his body, his thinking. He saved them from the sins. Does the Ramadan make us practice this? Those who don't fast, khair. Those who want to fast correctly, they don't understand the beauty of the fast. They go, oh, I've just left food and water and I've fasted. I've broken fast with a date in the morning, have paratha, eggs and this and that, end of story. No, no, no. This is not the case. This is another practice of Ramadan. Factor number three, leaving the sins. So when the human being 30 days practices this, controls his sins, his mind, body, tongue, ears, eyes, hands, he saves himself, alhamdulillah. Then he affects him in such a way that due to saving himself from the sins and revising that and repeating that and continuously being cautious, has such a big effect on that person that immediately the darkness of the heart changes to light and illumination. Subhanallah. That's why after Ramadan goes, a man realizes that what has gone. What is one? The third factor. Fourth factor, very important factor. I'm telling you all of this that the pious predecessors have taught us and explained to us, that they've worked hard and they've presented us the flowers of their learnings, the bunches of flowers that save yourself from hellfire. The final factor. Ramadan says that the most precious and important thing I'll give to you, and it is the biggest bulb to illuminate your heart. And what is that? Company of the good people. Good company. Subhanallah. Pious predecessors say that this is the greatest azim gift of Ramadan that illuminates your heart. Good company. Pious company. Why? Because in Ramadan, you have the fast, you've kept the fast, you're suppressing your desires, alhamdulillah, you're controlling your heart is illuminated, and food and drink is halal, and you're cautious, you don't want to do wrong, you don't want to break the fast with the wrong things. This is the case, isn't it? You are suppressing your desires, crushing your desires, you're saving yourself from the sins, third thing. On top of that, insan, when his heart is illuminated, then his heart desires something that, yaar, I want to find a place, environment where my heart can get more sakina, sakoon. Can automatically his heart desires that, requests that. To fulfill this gap, we try a lot, go to the masjid, speeches, taqreers, nasheed gatherings, people are invited, speakers, majalis are existent. But unconsciously, it's not just after Ramadan, you don't get those gatherings from India, the scholars coming from Pakistan, from here and there, people are being called. But the reality, we've not understood, then why am I doing all these things? Why am I just doing this in Ramadan? We don't understand the reality. The reality is this, the Ramadan is pulling and demanding that you are looking for pious company. You are searching that. Subhanallah. What a fantastic factor, most important factor of Ramadan. When your heart is alive and alight, it wants more food, it wants more sustenance, it has that desire, that pull. Just like in the house, when you have light, you can see everything. So the heart can see everything now, and you are preparing for the heart now to get beyond that. But those hearts who are illuminated, enlightened, they desire that I want the right food to go into my heart, to keep it alive. And to feed it, I don't enjoy in that majlis, I go to that gathering, I don't enjoy it. That speech, I didn't get what I wanted. The taqreer and bayans and lectures is all happening. The demand is continuing. The inside and consciously and knowingly that demand is there, but we don't know how to achieve it. To satisfy it. So Ramadan demands that you need to do one other action. To the extent that I have put the light in your heart, but you need something. Pious company. Good company. For good company, you need to seek that. That's your duty now to seek that. So when a human being, when he arrives to the good company, to the pious company, subhanAllah, and it's Ramadan, and he's in the fast state, and he's trying, and he's eating halal, consuming halal, he's saving himself from haram, and sins, and he sits in the company of the shaykh, and he gets the proper food, the dhikr of Allah, the spiritual sustenance and food, then the heart becomes the lantern of the heavens, subhanAllah. The lantern of the heavens. And those people take enjoyment from the good and pious company after Ramadan. This is the combination of the factors of Ramadan, I've just explained to you. Beautiful combination for Ramadan, subhanAllah. That person who gets these four factors, alhamdulillah, subhanAllah, these four qualities factors, then the enjoyment of his Ramadan, nothing can compare. Nothing can compare. The enjoyment, the maza, nothing can compare. So when these four factors, you attain them, in Ramadan says, I've enlightened your heart, illuminated. Look how I illuminated it. Now your duty is to understand my message, says Ramadan. When you depart from Ramadan, I will go, Ramadan says. And my excuse will end. But these four things I'll leave behind with you. And if you want to keep that light, your heart illuminated, that you're cautious with your food in a great way. Be cautious with the food and the drink. Even if you're not fasting, but you've been given the training and the teaching, that why you practice Ramadan, that it's not about the hunger. You have to be cautious that what are you eating and drinking? Is this halal, lawful, or is it haram? That is my earnings halal or haram? My, what I'm eating, I'm not feeding my children, my family, and I'll eat myself. Yes? 100% a person, even if he becomes slightly weak, even if he swears when he sells his maal in the wrong way, there's a big punishment for this. That's why big punishment, that a person, if he sells his stock and he swears and promises wrong, because in his heart he is prepared for the darkness, and there'll be a severe punishment that you've done dhulm on yourself, and that, for example, he thinks it's a small action, a small sin. Small sin. That he's lying and he's selling the stock. Yes? And incorrectly he's described his maal, the stock. Because it becomes haram and you will eat it, and then your heart will become dark, your effort will go to waste. And there is a point if a person's honest and upright and speaks correctly and sells his stock and based on Allah's tawakkal, what's his maqam? Such a great maqam, higher than the shuhada in the akhirah, higher than the shuhada. Sadiq Tajir, the true honest businessman. Why? Because that is linked to your stomach. With what you're consuming. It's connected to your stomach. So we have to be extremely cautious and careful. There's ijazah in Sharia for this. I'm giving money like this. Is there permission Sharia that I'm taking funds like this? Is there Sharia ijazah like this, that I'm using my money like this or spending like this, and it's coming in my home and utilizing this? When this caution comes into your life, alhamdulillah, then Allah says that Ramadan says I will illuminate your heart afterwards, just like it was illuminated during Ramadan. The rest, the second, third, fourth qualities, factors I've explained to you, work hard on them, make effort on them, and control the sins. Control the sins. If you can do that in Ramadan, then after that as well, after Ramadan, you can do that as well. Why? If you've given the halal rizq to your stomach, then the sins will be controlled. If you have not got halal rizq, then you can't control your sins and your heart will remain black and dark. Go step by step in order. Yes, and when the desires are controlled, number three, yes, then after that, if you get the pious, good company, then never in your life leave that good company, never, and value it and appreciate it. Appreciate it, not just in Ramadan, but appreciate it and value it after that as well. And if you can't go every day, then go the next day. Go every other day. If you can't go every other day, then go every third day. If you can't go every third day, Hazrat Sahib said, then go once in the week, at least come to the gathering. If you can't come once in the week, then come quarterly. Subhanallah. But if you get the gathering every day, then it's noor ala noor. Light beyond light. Somebody asked that, what's the timing you need for that? You need that much time, that go and look at your sheikh and depart. Subhanallah. Because you don't have time. You're restricted. You have to go to work. And you have to arrive on time. You're in the car, drive your car towards the headquarters of your sheikh, where he sat and hosting dhikr and doing dhikr. You go to that path, say, I'll go in that way. Get up. I'm giving you small pointers that your life shouldn't stop. Your sustenance shouldn't stop. I don't say that stop your work and employment. But he doesn't even say that don't sit in my company either. There has to be the balance. Both permissions are not given. That your dunya should have no loss, and you should have no loss in your akhirah either. Either. The friends of Allah, what do they see? That once in Multan, Pakistan's great sheikh, Hazrat Bahauddin Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayh, Multan, Pakistan, great sheikh, the whole of Multan, mashallah, you'll see his mazar from all corners of Multan. Surwardi sheikh, lot of faiz I attained from him, mashallah. Rather, I will say, I'm grateful for this ni'mah. I won't be ungrateful. The reality, my initiation was from there. I don't want to be ungrateful for this ni'mah. My initiation, my start, great wali Allah, great sheikh. And his grandson, who sometimes it happens that not from the son, but from the grandson, the series continues, the order. Sometimes from the grandson it continues. This is Allah's giving. We cannot say anything. There's no rule here, principle. So his nisbat, connection, that he's from his grandson. And what a great status he had, the friends of Allah, I'm speaking and coming to my mind. So his young life was such that his father, his grandfather, that when his gatherings were present, what would he do? The grandson, he was a small child, 1.5, 2 years old. He would come out of the house and he would correct the shoes. The shoe was upside down, he'd correct it, put it the right way up and align them, put them in a nice line. People requested Hazrat that your grandson, he called him, he said, what do you do here? He said, I tidy the shoes, Dadabu, my grandfather. I just put the shoes separate, those that are destined for paradise and those that are destined for hell. He had the kashf at that age. Subhanallah. For him, what did he do? That was the king of that time, the Hindustan, that time, India. I can't remember his name. This was his era. Ghaznavi, I can't remember the king's name. Anyway, so what did he do? That he would announce. That announced that I am going to come into the city, get my elephants ready, the king said. And why does he have to come out? And it was the hot time, afternoon, and he'd go out on a journey. When he'd go on his elephant, he said, today, whoever's done my ziyarah, he's forgiven. Subhanallah. He'd announce this. Allah Ta'ala, look at the work of Allah's ni'mah and favor. That these things sound weird to us when we hear these things. But from far the king would come to ziyarah. Let's do ziyarah today. That is jalal and karam and mas. And if whoever sees him is forgiven. So sobatay shaykh, even this point the walis of Allah have explained. That if you don't have the time, and that this time will come. This time is here today in this era. This time has come. Now where do we have time? Some computer, someone drives a taxi, somebody's a programmer, somebody's got in his shop. But he also wants his akhirah. And he wants to live in the dunya, he doesn't have time. So the tariqah is this. The rahmah, mercy of Allah, it spreads and it continues to spread and continue. And the person, the ocean, when it's there, the river continues to flow. Allah is not going to stop it. You go when you get time and drink a sip from that ocean. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. So what's the point here? That if you have to go to work, your car changes direction a little bit, go. That's they don't even go outside, stand and see 2 minutes. Allah, 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 do dhikr and go. Depart. Subhanallah. If you've just got that much time, have yaqeen, in that day there'll be a difference in your day. Positivity. Positivity is what I'm trying to say. Allah, look at your sheikh, do ziyarah, stand there in the doorway if you have to. People say mad. What I'm saying is mad. Sounds crazy, but darvish, everything that darvish is given the title, he's crazy. The only the intellectual people understand what I'm saying. Stand there, say 3 times. I swear by Allah. Allah, Allah, Allah. Done ziyarah of your sheikh, you've departed. So but their sheikh has been attained. Subhanallah. And your life, your day is protected. Sealed. So my brothers, this is a very important topic, that remove the darkness from your heart. Big azab. This azab will become the azab of Jahannam. Whoever's heart today, if he's got the darkness, then he'll get the darkness of Jahannam thereafter. Today if his heart is illuminated, then subhanallah, thereafter he will get the glowing and sparkling Jannah. Very careful, we need to be cautious, we need to protect our hearts. Always the light should be illuminated in our hearts. Whenever you see you're lazy, negligent, this is happening, sobat company is you're lazy, dhikr you're lazy, understand that the heart, the light, the bulb is extinguishing. Don't look towards mal, look towards the light of the heart. May Allah Ta'ala give to all of us the tawfiq, understanding and capability. Ameen. Risad Durood Sharif.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المذنبين طه وياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا حزننا وجدنا خطبنا مدنا كل ذلك اے میرے مولا اے میرے مولا تو ہمارے گناہ معاف فرما دے ہم سب کی بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا یا اللہ ہمیں سچی توبہ نصیب فرما یا اللہ سچی توبہ نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمیں شکر کرنے والا ذکر کرنے والا اطاعت کرنے والا فرما برداری کرنے والا تیری طرف رجوع کرنے والا گریہ کرنے والا گناہوں سے معافی مانگنے والا بندہ بنا دے اے میرے مولا تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہماری ساری دعاؤں کو جو ذکر میں ہم نے مانگی میرے مولا وہ مقبول فرما یا اللہ جو بھی اولیاء اللہ نے اس مقام پر دعائیں مانگی وہ ہمیں عطا فرما صالحین نے دعائیں مانگی اس میں وہ ہمیں عطا فرما عابدین نے دعائیں مانگی وہ ہمیں عطا فرما اصحاب کرام نے دعائیں مانگی وہ عطا فرما یا اللہ جو انبیاء کرام نے دعائیں مانگی وہ عطا فرما یا اللہ جو امام الانبیاء نے دعائیں مانگی وہ عطا فرما اے میرے مولا تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے جو ہم نصیحت رمضان میں سنتے آئے ہیں میرے مولا اس پہ عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما ہمارے بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما ہمارے بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما ہمارے بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین.